aerosols. Ooh. They feed all the animals. It's Garden Talk, hour number two. Welcome back, or welcome to this edition of Garden Talk, celebrating 31 years and counting. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher in the Chaos Hardall Greenhouse. And before we get into orchid talk for the next few minutes, let's take a call from Karen, who would like a word with you about potatoes. Good morning, Karen. Welcome to Garden Talk. How are you?
It's Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Sorry, but I need...
I'll answer to Karen, that's fine.
I need to go see my optician. I misread your name. Go ahead with your question.
I have a question because I was looking at a couple of videos on YouTube where people plant potatoes in like 55-gallon drums, the barrels. What kind of material do you use? Can you use like horse manure to keep it thin, loose?
Wow, 55-gallon drum. That's pretty deep. They must fill it halfway with soil and then put the potatoes in, because I can't see you putting maybe, you know, a few inches to a foot of soil in the bottom and then putting your potatoes in that deep, because I can't see them growing that high. Is there something else you can use besides this 55-gallon drum? Like a half wine barrel or... 20-gallon plastic pot, something, or even in the ground?
What they were looking at was you put in like a foot of dirt, and then as the plant grows up, you add more.
Right, right.
They were saying that the sprouts actually will produce more, so you just keep adding more soil or...
Right, that's what you do. That's how you get potatoes. But what I'm curious about, I didn't think that if you're going to put a foot of soil in there and your potatoes, that they're going to keep growing. As those 55 gallon drums are like, what, 4 feet tall or so?
Three feet?
Probably three or four.
3 feet. Okay. Well, yes, then, you know, go ahead and use that. Punch a bunch of holes in the bottom so there's drainage.
Okay.
Keep, you know, put some bricks or something underneath it if it's not going to sit on soil.
What type of soil should I put in there?
Your best bet would be to get some bags of planting mix, potting soil.
Okay.
You know, like a vegetable planting mix. If you have old composted horse manure or any other compost or any other old aged manures, you can mix that with your planting mix and use that if you need to get rid of the manures.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate the help. Thank you.
Yeah, let me know because when you don't want to cover up the foliage. Try to keep the foliage exposed because you need that photosynthesis going to get the plants to keep growing. So at a certain time, you're going to notice that the foliage stops growing and then it'll start producing flowers. Don't add any more soil. You have to know when to stop.
Okay.
And then be careful with the watering, too, because the bottom of that container is going to be pretty dense, heavy, you know, and wet. So the watering is going to be very tricky. Just err on the side of caution. Don't keep them waterlogged, otherwise everything's just going to rot on you.
Okay.
And I promise when you call back, I won't call you Karen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, let me know how you do with that. I'm curious.
Marnie Turkell, nice to see you again.
Good to be back.
She knows a whole lot more about orchids than we do, and probably more than most people listening to the show. If you are a somewhat experienced orchid grower, or are you a newbie? Do you love orchids and wondering if you can do it yourself? The answer is absolutely yes. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely yes.
And to help you along with that, it's the annual Sonoma County Orchid Society's annual show and sale. It's called Rainbow of Orchids, and it's next weekend, March 31st and April 1st, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. Admission is $8 at the Santa Rosa Veterans Building. We have two pair of tickets. How about that? Two pair of tickets to give away to a lucky Garden Talk caller this morning. You can either email or call us with questions. It doesn't have to be about orchids. We have anything to do with gardening. And we'll enter your names into a drawing shortly before 11 o'clock, and you'll go courtesy of KSRO. How many years have they been doing this orchid show? It seems like 25, 30
Well, I've
years?
The first one that since I moved up here in 1985, in the spring of that following year, so 1986, they had an orchid show. I don't know about before that, but it's been going on every year in the spring for at least that long.
Well, I love the orchid show. We first started having Jim Kennedy. Was that Jim Kennedy?
Mm-hmm. Jim.
Yeah, I guess back in 95, about 24, 25 years ago, come on, and a number of different orchid experts. And we've had the pleasure of having you on for the past few years. You have your own kind of orchid company, don't you?
My business is orchids. I grow the orchids I grow mostly for myself. My business is growing orchids from seed. So I have a tissue culture lab here just outside of Santa Rosa, and I produce the seed and then grow them. And then when they're ready to come out of flask, that's the point that I would sell them.
So they grow in flasks?
In a sterile condition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they take about 2 years in vitro, in glass, it's actually plastic these days, before they're ready to come out, and then another year to 5 years after that before they bloom. So it's a long, slow process.
Are they long-lived? Are any of them long-lived?
Actually, they can live indefinitely. I have a division of a plant, a Cattleya, one of the corsage-type orchids, that was imported in the 1890s. Came from Venezuela. And has been divisions made of it, and I know of other plants that are from about that same vintage. So they don't have a life cycle that ends. They continue to grow.
Remarkable. I know there's people out there that are saying, if I can keep it alive for 6 months, that's a victory as far as I'm concerned. So if you're having problems keeping orchids alive, wanting to know what the fertilizing, the watering, the light requirements are, call us this morning, 636-1350. Marnie is you're the most patient teacher, and you have such a reassuring manner. I can't imagine anybody being frightened about growing an orchid after talking with you.
Well, you know, they shouldn't be frightened. Most of the orchids that a beginner is going to encounter, they're not one of a kind. If you kill it, which we all do, it's not much different than a bouquet of flowers. So you shouldn't be afraid of them.
Well, it'll take us some calls. And I think the reason why people are afraid of them is because they read the New Yorker magazine. Here's my new copy of February 26, 2018. And here's a cartoon. I'm going to show you the cartoon. Mm-hmm. It's of an orchid. And here's what the cartoon reads. Caring for your new orchid. Number one, do not deprive the orchid of sunlight. Number two, do not bombard the orchid with too much sunlight. Three, do not touch the orchid. Four, do not look at the orchid. Five, do not ask the orchid why it's mad at you. Six, do not forget to take the orchid out, like to a movie every once in a while, something that shows you're making some semblance of an effort. And seven, do not overwater the orchid.
Well, there's some truth in that, there's always, people ask questions and the answer will be, well, it depends.
Right.
There's no hard and fast rules that you can give that give a blanket for all orchids.
It's like Gwen's answer, unfortunately, is, well, it's either too little or too much water, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Raphael has a question about orchids for us. Raphael, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was just wondering how many different types of orchids are out there?
Well, naturally occurring, those are species, naturally occurring orchids. When I started growing 35 years ago, there were 30,000 naturally occurring species. There have been many new ones described in the meantime. So it's somewhere between 30 and 35,000. Those are naturally occurring.
And how many in the commercial market do we see?
In the commercial market, you probably see thousands. But people make hybrids. There's over 100,000 that have been registered. That is man-made. Two things crossed together that wouldn't happen in nature. So there's a lot.
There's your answer, okay. Raphael.
Very good. Thank you. I do have another question.
Sure.
So orchids grow from a seed or from like a root?
They will grow from seed. That's how they reproduce naturally. When you're dealing with an orchid, generally you can take a division of it. So there'll be what's called a rhizome that's growing around along the surface or on the tree trunk, and growth pseudobulbs come up from that. That's one of the two types of orchids. You can, if you have that type where there's multiple pseudobulbs, you can cut or divide that plant by cutting at the base, the rhizome, and generally you leave three or more pseudobulbs together, and they will produce new growths from that. The other type of orchid just keeps growing and growing and growing up. It doesn't have the bulbs, but it can also be divided and cut.
How do you know which is which? Do you have to dig down and find it?
It's pretty obvious. The most there's monopodial, which was 1 foot, mm-hmm. and sympodial, many-footed. And the one of the most common orchids that you'll see is a Phalaenopsis, which has the two. It's a moth orchid. It has mm-hmm. two alternating strap leaves, and that's a monopodial. It's the less common type, but it's very common in the trade. And it just continues to produce new leaves out of the center. Some of the other ones that you see, Dendrobium, Cattleya, you'll see there's multiple growths that come from the base of the plant, and that's the other type.
Aren't Phalaenopsis the starter orchid or the easiest ones to grow?
It's the one that likes it. As I say, it depends. It's the one that likes the conditions most closely related with the way people are living. So average room temperatures, moderate light. The slipper orchid is another one that likes those same conditions.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Raphael?
Yes. Thank you very much. Very interesting.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you. If there's one general rule, is if in doubt, don't water it?
most orchids are killed by overwatering. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll get people will, you know, just want to water it. They want to do something for it. And if you keep watering, the roots don't get enough air around it. The bark, the media starts to break down. It gets mushy. You lose roots. And then you get symptoms that look like you're underwatering because there's no roots for the plant to take the water up.
Oh.
But overwatering is a main cause of death in orchids.
Laura, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk this beautiful Saturday morning at KSRO with special guest Marnie Turkell. Hi, Laura.
Hey guys, I know overwatering or underwatering. I'm a master gardener in Sonoma County. Those are the two things that usually happen to any plant, right?
Yep.
But your specialty orchids, one of a kind, things like that. Where do you go in Sonoma County to buy those one of a kind orchids?
Well, since you ask, the best place to buy orchids would be at an orchid show, because you can talk to the person who grew the orchid, who knows what they're going to need. If you can talk to a knowledgeable person, you can tell them where you're going to grow the orchid, what conditions it has, the minimum temperature, the maximum temperature, how much light, and they can suggest something that will do in those conditions. The main trick of growing orchids well is getting the right conditions for it, or getting the orchid that's right for the conditions you have. You can also always buy orchids at, Trader Joe's, the big box stores. Local nurseries usually have an assortment of orchids. Some people shop online. There's a lot of ways to go about it. But I think one of the best ways to learn a lot and to get some personal, some information that applies just to you is at an orchid show when you're talking to somebody who really grows orchids.
Are you going to be at the show, Marnie, selling orchids next?
I won't be selling orchids.
Oh, you won't.
I will be there. I'm giving a docent tour at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We have several tours a day where you can walk around with a group and have somebody explain to you something about the orchid show, how the judging system works, what orchids are good for, what conditions, how to find out, if you see an orchid, what do you need to know to be able to find that orchid for yourself?
And what about for you personally, purchasing orchids from you? Can we go to a website that you...
I sell on eBay. Uh-huh. The username Mostly Species. Uh-huh. And I have a website, again, Mostly Species, or you can Google Marnie Turkel, you'll find me that way. And so that I sell the flasks, the baby orchids, uh-huh, on the website.
Okay. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
It does, but I just tuned in, so the orchid show, maybe my lucky weekend, the orchid show is this weekend?
Next Saturday and Sunday, March 31st and April 1st, 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday at the Veterans Building in Santa Rosa.
And if you check for the ad in the Press Democrat, or if you see any of the cards advertising the show, that is good for $1 off at the entrance.
Okay, we like that.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. You so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you for calling, Laura. Other great things at the orchid shows at 11 o'clock, Hardy Outdoor Orchids for Beginners, repotting cymbidiums. Mm-hmm. And then how to grow and rebloom your first orchid, tips and tricks for easy orchid growing. Then that's at 1 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. And then, as you mentioned, noon and 2 p.m. Saturdays and Sunday, the docent tours of the displays. So there's a lot of information there. If you're orchid shy, you can become somewhat orchid savvy within a matter of a few hours and a lot of fun.
Also, if you have questions, there is an orchid doctor booth at the show, so you can bring in, if you have an orchid you're not sure what it is, bring in a picture of it. If you've got something that doesn't look quite right, bring in a picture of that.
So someone will be there to triage your orchid.
Yes, and answer any questions that you have.
Good morning, Marlene. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO with special guest today, Marnie Turkel, orchid specialist, joining Gwen Kilcher. Hi there.
Hi there. Yes, I've grown several orchids for a few years now. I have good luck with Phalaenopsis, and yes, water is a big issue with those, and light particularly. And I have, Oncidiums, and I'm experimenting more with those. But what I have a problem with, I'm ready to toss all of them. I've been fighting with them for years. Up here, I'm from Southern California, and I'm in West Santa Rosa now, are the Cymbidiums. And I have pots of those I've had for years, and this is the last try, and I don't know what they need now. I've been to the workshops on those at the shows. I go to the show every year, and I just don't know. The pots are full, and I know they should be full, and I'm going to try them one more time, and I'm not sure whether to use bark or what. They either get too wet if they're out in the rain, or they can freeze, and I don't know the temperature tolerance exactly for them, because I know they can get damaged in the frost, but I just have no luck with blooms.
Well, there's a couple of things. A lot of people do grow them outside up here. If you're West Santa Rosa, most of the time you'll be okay. The blooms are hardy down to 32 degrees, and the plants get damaged at 26 degrees.
Okay, well, we have a lot of that, 26. This year hasn't been so bad, but we do get those kind of temperatures, and that's what I thought, was about it. But I just, for years now, I've had these things and keep starting new ones and just have not. I don't think I've ever gotten a bloom. I bought them and kept them, of course, in the house for a while, but then that's it.
Well, they're not a house plant. They like to get down. If you want them to bloom, they need to get down below 50 or 55 in the springtime. That's when they're initiating their blooms. They need about 4 hours of direct sun per day. And they don't want to be wet all winter. So if you can put them under an eave so they don't get rained on, you will have a much better chance of getting blooms. I think straight fine fir bark is a great mix for them. They're not that, they're not too sensitive. You may be over-coddling them, or the other thing they need is fertilizer. So starting...
I do the four colors, the Grow More, and I've been pretty religious with that this year, with still the 630 for another month or two. I have to check on the timing of that, but I did that much better this year, and I think it's the light, because I put them on the east side, and especially in the hot summer sun, and I think I'm going to put them out in full sun more often. I think that's what they need up here.
Yes, you...
So I'm
I think more sun would probably be the right thing, and you want to protect them a little bit. You can you can certainly go through the different kinds of fertilizer, but generally from early October through the end of December, you would not be fertilizing, and then you would begin to fertilize in the spring. So it's 3 months without fertilizer and 9 months with fertilizer. And any kind of fertilizer.
Do you pay attention on to the labels of those, you know, different colors?
I don't. I just don't have the time.
Okay.
And
so what kind of fertilizer then would you use for the first of the year for both the blooms?
Good balanced fertilizer, a 10-10-10. The other thing you can do is like use Nutricoat or a time release fertilizer and just sprinkle that on, you know, like in February or March. They have 9 month fertilizers and just let it go. Also, how strong are you using the fertilizer?
Well, whatever it says, a teaspoon is a gallon, whatever it says, if you do it every 2 weeks, you know it says that, and it says for the 6-30-30 for blooms, you know, the first of the year, the spring, early, you know, winter into early spring. So I just follow what's on those bottles is what I've been doing, and I know there are other types of fertilizer, other brands and whatever, and I thought maybe there'd be something I should just change to.
I would, in the spring, I would do it every week, fertilize them, and They will take quite a bit of fertilizer.
But with the bloom fertilizer, just still, I get plenty of green growth. And so I'm using the 630 now for these months, you know, to try to promote the growth. But maybe I should use a different fertilizer.
You might want to try something different because it sounds like you've been doing this for a while and not getting blooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll try what's a brand that you have me try?
Peters or, I don't know, just a general...
Schultz.
Peters.
Yeah.
What about Maxi?
Maxi is good.
A balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got to take a break. Maxi is also an excellent fertilizer, too.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, Marlene. Hope that gives you some ideas and direction. We'll come back and we'll take more questions and answers live Garden Talk at KSRO.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Hey! It's me, your radio. Yeah, I know, I'm usually here playing your favorite song or the news, weather, sports, talk, even traffic. You and I spend a lot of time together, and I was thinking you should advertise your business right here on the radio. Check it out. About 93% of the population listens to the radio each week. And with radio, you can reach the right people with the right message at the right time, at the right cost. I mean, simply put, the dollars you spend on radio advertising generate the best ROI of any media. I bet you didn't know I knew stuff like that, did you? I know what you're thinking. Sounds pretty good, but I have no idea where to start with this radio advertising thing. Surprise! I'm kind of an expert. Tell you what, give us a call today and find out how radio delivers results.
Find out how radio can help promote your business to thousands of potential customers every week. Call me, Kevin Wadlinger, or go to NorthBayAdvertising.com.
Fantastic. Terrific. Excellent. Tantalizing. Best ever. Amazing. Delicious. Incredible. Delightful. Wonderful. Delectable. Scrumptious. Simply awesome.
Not just a description, but an experience. La Vera Pizza is a culmination of culinary delight that you'll never forget. Tempt yourself with a taste of La Vera Pizza's artisan pizzas, like our Spicy Spesto, Mushroom Mania, or National Award-winning pizza, the Prima. And you'll also love La Vera Pizza's exquisite entrees, like our luscious lasagna, captivating calzone, and our ravishing ravioli. Old world taste brought to a new level of description. La Vera Pizza.
Positively palate-provocative perfection.
Find out for yourself at La Vera Pizza in downtown Santa Rosa. Open every day. Call 575-1113. La Vera Pizza.
Beyond description.
fun and cheese just go together. It's 3 days of cheese bliss at the 12th annual California Artisan Cheese Festival at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, March 23rd through the 25th. On Friday, join 20 chefs and 20 rock star cheesemongers as they duel to see who will make the best bite. Learn from the experts at the Saturday seminars and pairing demos. Backed by popular demand on Saturday night, it's cheese and cocktails. The perfect opportunity for you to choose your favorite cheese and spirit pairing. Start your Sunday with a multi-course bubbles brunch, then stroll through the artisan cheese tasting and marketplace where you can meet more than 25 cheesemakers. Buy and taste all things that go great with cheese, like wine, beer, ciders, jams, jellies, crackers, chocolate, and so much more from over 100 artisan producers. It's cheese, cheese, and more cheese, March 23rd through 25th at our new location, the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Tickets will sell out, so get yours now at artisancheesefestival.com. That's artisancheesefestival.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's KSRO Santa Rosa, 1032, and let's join Pat Kerrigan. She's live at Courthouse Square this morning with an update about what she is going, well, what she's involved in. Pat, of course, anchors the morning shows Monday through Friday at KSRO. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for letting me jump into your show this morning. Of course, we are live in Courthouse Square, Santa Rosa. This is the March for Our Lives event. It started about a half an hour ago, and Steve, the Courthouse Square is packed with people. I've never been a good crowd estimator, but I will say there have to be well over 1,000, maybe 2,000 people packing Courthouse Square, listening to speakers, just now listening to a representative from Congressman Jared Huffman's office, and the signs are plentiful. The ages, Steve, are varied. A lot of students, of course, it's their march, and the majority of the speakers are students, but a lot of other folks, too, who have been to a march or two in their lives over the past few decades and are here to support the kids. It is an amazing collection of humanity here in Courthouse Square. And by the way, Steve, we've been uploading pictures and video from the march to the KSRO website. So just an amazing day in Courthouse Square, and it is nowhere near over yet.
Are participants handing out literature, anything you can bring with you back to the station next week?
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of stuff to bring. And one of the main thrusts of the booths and things here, Steve, is that they're pre-registering students to vote. And that, of course, a very important part of this equation as these kids inspire us and look to make a real impact in this country. A lot of them are seniors. A lot of them are just months away from turning 18 and being able to make a real impact at the ballot. So it is an exciting time to be here. And wow, let me tell you, it is just packed in Courthouse Square. And kids and dogs and parents and, you know, Vietnam War veterans, everybody's standing with the students today in the square in Santa Rosa.
So it'll be going on probably at least for the next hour or so, would you say, Pat?
Oh, yeah. I would say at least until noon. And then if a lot of these folks have their way, no doubt there will be a march from Courthouse Square. Not exactly the direction. It is not a planned part of this event. But a lot of people in the crowd saying, hey, if it's a march for our lives, let's march. So I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. Wow, what a day.
Wow, it's Pat Kerrigan. She's live at Santa Rosa's Courthouse Square covering the march to hopefully reduce gun violence in our society. Thanks so much for the call, Pat.
You bet, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the call. Pat Kerrigan, Monday through Fridays. You can enjoy her on KSRO. And what a show of support of at least 1,000-plus people this morning, and good that the weather cooperated with us this morning, too. Mm-hmm. Marnie Drickell covering the world of orchids with us this morning. Any general gardening questions, of course, encouraged. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO. Of course, Gwen Kilcher answering all those general gardening questions for us. We have a couple pair of tickets to give away to next weekend's big Sonoma County Orchid Show at the Veterans Building on Maple Drive. It's right across from the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. We'll go back and we'll take Elisa's question right after this break. Elise, we know you're out there. Don't go away.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, chicken, seafood, and freshly made sausage. A variety of cheeses, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Parsons Homegrown is back with delicious organic heirloom tomatoes. Enjoy the Veet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta. Shop our creative local artisans and sample warm, fresh pastries and bread. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
And now, here's a health update from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
In Sonoma and Marin counties, being outdoors hiking, camping, and enjoying the fresh air is what we do. Living in the tall grasses on the hillsides and the fallen leaves along the trails are ticks. Ticks are year-round in Marin and Sonoma counties, so be sure to protect yourself from ticks and tick-borne diseases by applying a repellent containing DEET to exposed skin. Wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and long pants and check yourself for ticks. Don't forget to check your pets for ticks, too.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge.
Learn more about ticks at msmosquito.com.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Most of the rain is behind us. Just a few showers this afternoon. High 52, 50 on the coast. Light rain tonight. Low 37, 39 on the shores. Mostly clear skies for tomorrow at 58, 53 in Bodega Bay. Sunny for Monday at 64, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Good morning, Elise. Thanks for holding. You're on Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you today?
Yes. About 8 years ago, I bought a cymbidium that had two spikes. It was in a pot that was a little bit smaller than a 1 gallon. After it quit blooming, I just put it in a 2 gallon pot and never did a thing to it but water it, fertilize it, talk to it. Nothing ever happened. So my other orchid bloomed, but not that one. And so I had to give the serbine sacrifice and throw it out underneath the oak trees. So there it sat for a year, and I went out there the other day, and the darn thing's got 9 spikes on it. Fantastic. Beautiful. I didn't water it. I didn't fertilize it a whole year. So there you have it. So what I want to know now is how I can cut it up so that I can make other plants out of that one. I don't know how many bulbs to put in like a 1-gallon pot.
That'll depend on the size of the bulbs. There are miniature cymbidiums where the pseudobulb is the size of, you know, like a walnut, and you know, standard size cymbidium where it's as big as your fist. So that will be a determining factor. Generally, you want at least 3 pseudobulbs together to make a healthy growth. You can do it with one. It will just take a lot longer to get up to where it's blooming size.
I see.
Also, you don't want to put it into too big a pot. If you went from one that was like less than a 1-gallon pot up into a 2-gallon pot, you have so much media there that it doesn't get to pull up the moisture and get a wet dry cycle, which they like. They want heavy water in the summer and basically, you know, no water or fertilizer in the winter, because that's their natural habitat. So you want to, they like to be root bound. So you want to put it in a pot where you allow for maybe the, you know, 1 pseudobulb sized space around the plant, so that in a year it will start to fill that pot up.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's not so much the depth then, it's the width?
Yes, it's the width, or it's the amount of medium that's going to be in the pot. A lot of cymbidiums in their natural habitat will grow like in a rotten tree trunk where they have long roots, but they don't spread out so much. Others will grow on the, you know, attached to a tree, and the roots will spread out. But generally, a pot about as deep as it is wide is pretty standard, or maybe a little deeper than it is wide. But it's the overall amount. You want to leave space for about a year's growth around it, but not too big a pot. If you pot into a bigger pot, you think you're going to get a bigger plant, and you get the opposite.
Mm-hmm. What I did, I put packing peanuts at the bottom of that just to fill it up so I didn't have a lot of bark all the way down to the bottom.
That's a lot of people will do that. The other thing is I'll take a net pot that's about half the diameter of the bottom of the plastic pot I'm potting into, and something with a lot of holes in it, and turn that upside down so that you have air up in the middle of the plant, more or less, and that will help it to dry out a little faster and more evenly also.
Oh, I see. Oh, good idea. Okay, good. All right, well, thank you. That's great.
I think you've learned the lesson. Don't coddle your cymbidiums.
Thanks for your call, Elise, and reminding all our listeners, the Sonoma County Orchid Society's big Rainbow of Orchid show is next weekend. They've been doing this 35, 40 years. March 31st, April 1st, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 5 and 10 to 4 at the Sonoma County Vets Building. That's across on the fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Admission's $8. If you find the coupon in the paper, you can get $1 off. We have 2 pair of tickets to give away to this great event to 2 lucky Garden Talk callers. You need to get in with a question either online or by phone at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO. A docent tour of display led by Marnie herself will be, are you doing Saturday and Sunday both?
Just Saturday.
Saturday at 2 o'clock?
At 2 o'clock. There are other people on Sunday, so we have other people giving docent tours as well. So if you're going to come to the show, time it for that, because it'll give you a good sense of what you're looking at.
Okay, we'll take more questions and answers following this break. Don't go away. Wayne, we know that you're on the line, and Diane has a question for us also. 636-1350 if you want to reach us. Plenty of time before the 11 o'clock hour strikes.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5 94.5 KSRO.
Hi, I'm former State Senator Noreen Evans. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing over 700 of our neighbors in the lawsuit against PG&E for the October wildfires. Our team believes that representing you is about more than just filing a lawsuit. We provide our clients with resources to help rebuild and recover. Whether it's informational workshops on recovery issues or helping with insurance claims, we believe in putting our clients first, in and out of the courtroom. To learn more and join the hundreds who have taken action, visit our website at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445. We hold town hall meetings twice a week at our offices located at 70 Stony Point Road, Suite A, Santa Rosa. Our next town hall meetings are Thursday, March 22nd from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, March 24th from 9 to 11 a.m. We hope to see you there.
John Cox of the Law Offices of John Cox is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Hey, homeowners, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. Now you can finally benefit from the housing recovery. For a free home value analysis, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Maybe now you can knock out some of those home improvement projects, like adding a new roof, kitchen, or flooring. You can even add solar with a cash-out refinance. Do you still have high credit card payments? Use your home's equity at a low fixed mortgage to get rid of that expensive debt and sleep well again. Bay Equity can help you celebrate the housing recovery. Treat yourself to improving your home or reduce your credit card balances with a cash out refinance from Bay Equity Home Loans. To see if you qualify, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100, or go online to bayequityloans.com.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Hi, Wayne. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRL. Thanks for holding. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, we've got a great, great show. I listen to the show every weekend on Saturday.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a thornless blackberry, and I've got a trellis up the side of a fence. And I was wondering, is it too late to prune it, or?
You have a what blackberry?
Thornless.
Thornless. Yeah. Thornless blackberries. Well, at this point, yeah, don't prune anything off. Just prune back the dead canes. That would be very obvious because you won't see any new leaves coming out on them. And just direct the growth on the trellis and don't do any pruning now.
No. Okay, good enough. Yeah, I already took the dead stuff off last month.
Okay.
But the canes are about 8 foot long.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they could get to 15 feet, I've seen. So, no, you don't want to prune any of that back now. Just let it grow. Let it produce the berries where it's going to produce the berries. After you've harvested the berries, say, what, in summer, late summer or so?
Right? In September, yeah.
Okay, so after you've harvested the berries, if those canes are in the way or it's just too much, whatever, then you can do some selective pruning and prune it back then. Okay.
Very good. Uh-huh.
But right now I wouldn't do anything. Just tie them to the trellis and you'll get a ton of fruit off of them, I'm sure. And there you go.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
And we expect blackberry tarts, turnovers, and pies. The cost of that information. Lee from up in Healdsburg, California is next in line for Garden Talk. Lee, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I think I have an emergency. I have an indoor ficus benjaminan, and it's about maybe 3 feet tall. And I've been babying this thing because I want to get a big one again. and I know they're so susceptible to mealy bugs, but I don't know what this is that's wrong with mine now. I noticed on the leaves, not every leaf, just here and there, are some very, like, it looks like it should be something sticky. In the sunshine, it's shiny, and it's not sticky. And then I noticed on one branch, well, maybe two branches, a whole bunch up and down the stems, tiny, tiny little bumps. I don't know what scale looks like.
That you just described it.
Is that the shiny stuff too?
Yeah, they're sucking the juice out of the leaves and the stems, and so the sticky stuff that they produce is like a honeydew. And when it sits there for a while, it eventually starts to get, you know, a little bit hard, and it's not as sticky, but it's shiny. Sometimes, you know, if you have a dusty house, dust accumulates on it. What you could do is take a magnifying glass and just look at those bumps under a magnifying glass.
I'm doing that right now.
Okay, and you'll see that those guys are not part of the plant. Yeah. So if you could do some pruning and prune out that branch that's affected, as long as you're not taking out half the plant,
right,
that would be a good way, the best way, wow, to get rid of them. Otherwise, you know, you could get a Q-tip and rub alcohol on them. You can scrape them with a butter knife. It's a tedious process, but there are systemic insecticides that you could use in the soil, but, you know, that's not, you know, pretty harmful. Especially if, you know, you don't use it correctly, or the plant gets too wet, it doesn't work, or the plant's not wet enough, and it takes a long time for it to kick in. So the fastest way would be if you can prune them out, get rid of them, pinch off the leaves if you see them on the undersides of the leaves. Otherwise, Q-tip with the alcohol, and do that like every day if you can. And mark the plant. Put a little ribbon or something around the spots that you've marked. So you know where they are, and then you don't have to spend so much time looking through the whole plant. But keep an eye on where they're concentrated. Some of them just crawl off into other parts of the plant. So you will have to look at the whole plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, depending on how big the plant is, maybe get some help. You know, more eyes are better than a few eyes. And
The last time I had a 7-foot one, it was so beautiful. And I tried getting the mealybugs off with the alcohol tip, and then finally I just had to give up. It was just too much.
Yeah, yeah. See,
smaller, so I think I'll give that a try.
Okay, but keep putting it on like every day or every other day.
Oh.
Put that little ribbon on, so, and eventually they'll dry up, and, you know, or if you can prune them out, scrape them with a butter knife. That works too.
There's your answer, Lee. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Our final question of the morning, Eric is getting in with a question about looks like orchids. Eric, thanks for holding, and welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning.
Hi, this is Eric. I've got a cymbidium orchid that's in a 5-gallon bucket, and it's trying to climb out. It had two big flowers, huge flowers, a month ago, and they're gone. They're pretty. And I just wanted to know how about to transplant it.
You want to wait until you start to see the new growths coming from the base of, like, usually generally the lead pseudobulb or pseudobulbs, and just when they're up about an inch, they come from the very base of that pseudobulb, and they'll start out just like a quarter of an inch long, and then they'll get up a little longer. That's the time that you want to transplant it. When that new growth gets a little bigger, it's going to put out its new roots, which will be fragile. So you want to do it before the new roots come out, so you don't break them off, and that way it can go into the new medium. Is it in bark, do you know?
Yeah, it's in bark.
Yeah.
And soil mixed.
So I would, if it's growing well that way, you can do the same thing. It's climbing out of the pot, basically,
yeah,
is what
you're... Yeah, it is. I've had it for about 10 years, and it was, you know, in the about halfway in the pot. Yeah, it's huge now. It's just burrowing out of the pot, and it looks like it needs to come out of there in about three different places.
So you want to take the whole thing out. So take the pot out, cut it if you have to, take off all of the old media, work it with your hands so that you get everything out that you can. If there's any old dead roots that aren't white, that don't have growing tips, use a sterile razor blade or clean scissors and cut them out so that you get rid of anything that's going to just rot.
Okay.
And then two directions. You can just go up to a bigger pot, or you can divide the plant and put it, what you want to keep for yourself, in the same size pot, and then put other, if you have other divisions, you can share those with people. As cymbidiums can get quite large and quite unruly if you just keep putting them into a bigger pot. Right. So if you're going to take anything off, take off the old leafless pseudobulbs. If you find out where the newest, freshest pseudobulbs are, kind of work back and see where there are old pseudobulbs, and you can just take those out, or you can take, if there's multiple leads, go back 3, 4, 5 pseudobulbs from those leads and just pot those up together, putting the oldest pseudobulbs in the center and having the new growths going out so they'll be into the fresh medium.
That we hope that helps, Eric.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Good luck and congratulations on a 10-year-old cymbidium. Sounds fantastic. We'll be right back and give away some tickets.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Fun and cheese just go together. It's 3 days of cheese bliss at the 12th Annual California Artisan Cheese Festival at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, March 23rd through the 25th. On Friday, join 20 chefs and 20 rockstar cheesemongers as they duel to see who will make the best bite. Learn from the experts at the Saturday seminars and pairing demos. Backed by popular demand on Saturday night, it's cheese and cocktails. The perfect opportunity for you to choose your favorite cheese and spirit pairing. Start your Sunday with a multi-course bubbles brunch, then stroll through the artisan cheese tasting and marketplace where you can meet more than 25 cheesemakers. Buy and taste all things that go great with cheese, like wine, beer, ciders, jams, jellies, crackers, chocolate, and so much more from over 100 artisan producers. It's Cheese, Cheese, and More Cheese, March 23rd through 25th at our new location, the Sonoma County Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Tickets will sell out, so get yours now at artisancheesefestival.com. That's artisancheesefestival.com.
Smiling was always tough for me, even at my happiest moments, because of my smile. I never knew about cosmetic dentistry, but now my smile is perfect. Thank you, Dr. Sean Wilson.
I know having a beautiful smile makes everyone feel great. Unfortunately, even if you were born with perfect teeth, they may not be so perfect now. Gaps, fillings, stains, chipped, and discolored teeth can all affect appearance, self-confidence, and quality of life. From tooth whitening to implants, my passion is creating your unique and amazing smile that can even make you look younger.
There is only one dentist that's been voted Sonoma County's best dentist 6 years in a row. There's a reason why. Get the smile you've always wanted. Tell your smartphone to call Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS, and schedule your appointment today.
Calling Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Well, a splendid couple hours. We will ask Miss Marnie Turkel to give us her two favorite numbers between 1 and 10, please, Marnie.
3 and 7.
Okay, we have randomly assigned numbers to all the callers, so there's no number bias. The number 3 was not the third caller. It was the 7th caller. That was Elise. So Elise was caller number 7, and you said caller number 3?
Yes.
That would have been Wayne, who we assigned the number 3. So both Elise and Wayne, you've won a pair of tickets each to the Orchid Show next Saturday or Sunday at the Sonoma County's Fairgrounds at the Veterans Building. Okay? Saturday or Sunday, your choice. You can pick up the tickets at the radio station Monday through Friday, anytime between 8:30 and 5 o'clock. Marnie, a joy as always to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Really, you have successfully demystified orchids, and there's no more orchid angst among us today, thanks to your visit today.
Good to know.
Thanks, Gwen. We'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
Chef John Ash joining us in the KS Arto Kitchen, that following the news.
This is FM News Talk Radio at 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. KSRO Santa Rosa.